Unknown Pleasures Inside Joy Division, written and read by Peter Hook. Dedicated with love to my mother Irene and her sister Jean. This book is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, as I remember it. Introduction. It's a strange life. Normally I don't include any other people in my writing. Everyone remembers the same things completely differently. The contradictions really confuse you and spoil everything, making you question yourself and what happened. I proved it to myself by letting a very close friend see what I had written. He replied with a great comment. What's the point of all this? So, answers on a postcard, please. Prologue, January 1978. Our first gig as Joy Division, and it ended in a fight. Typical. Not our first gig. Before that, we'd been called Warsaw, but for reasons I'll explain later, we couldn't carry on being called Warsaw, so we'd had to think of a new name. Boys in Bondage was one of the many suggestions, and we very nearly went with another, Slaves of Venus, which just goes to show you how desperate we were getting. It was Ian who first suggested Joy Division. He found it in a book he was reading, House of Dolls by Kazetnik, 135633. He then passed it round for us all to read. In the book, Joy Divisions was the name given to groups of Jewish women kept in the concentration camps for the sexual pleasure of the Nazi soldiers. The oppressed, not the oppressors, which in a punky, no-future sort of way was exactly what we were trying to say with the name. It was a bit like Slaves of Venus, except not crap. So that was decided. We were Joy Division. Little did we know what we were letting ourselves in for, and that for years people would be asking us, "Are you Nazis?" "No, we're not fucking Nazis, we're from Salford." So anyway, we had this gig at Pip's Discotheque, formerly Nice and Easy on Fennell Street in Manchester. It was our first official gig as Joy Division, though it had been advertised as Warsaw. The name change came over Christmas, and we were pretty excited come the night, me especially, because that day I'd been out and bought a brand new guitar. I'd been paranoid about my old one since recording our EP, An Ideal for Living. Barney had told me it was out of tune between the F and the G. I didn't know what that meant, but it sounded serious, so I'd saved up for a new one. A Hondo 2 stereo Rickenbacker copy. I beat the guy down from 99 to 95 quid, and tonight with its debut. Not only that, but I had a lot of mates coming to see us. The Salford lot, we'll call them. Alex Parker and his brother Ian. Twinning and all the lads from the Flemish Weaver on Salford Precinct, my local. Before the show started, Ian Curtis had been listening to Trans Europe Express by Kraftwerk over the PA. He loved that record. He must have given it to the DJ to play as our intro music. And I'm not sure if he was planning to get up on stage from the dance floor or what he was intending to do really, but he was on the dance floor and he was sort of kicking broken glass around as Trans Europe Express was playing. Kind of kicking it around and moving round to the music at the same time. We already knew Ian was driven, and recently we'd been seeing how volatile he could sometimes be. He was going through a phase of acting up a bit, shall we say. A frontman thing, of course, and partly his Iggy Pop fascination, but also frustration. Frustration that we weren't getting anywhere. The other Manchester bands were doing better than us, getting more gigs than us. The Drones had an album out, The Fall, The Panic and Slaughter and the Dogs all had singles out, and their records weren't all muffled and shit-sounding like ours. To cap it all, here we were, our first gig as Joy Division, and only about 30 people had turned up, 20 of them my mates. All of this got to me. Steve and Bernard too, of course, but Ian had it worse than we did, probably because we all lived with our parents. But he was married, so maybe the group felt more like real life for him somehow. Maybe like something he had to make work. Or perhaps I'm talking out of my arse. Maybe Ian was just kicking glass because he was pissed and felt like it. Not that it mattered anyway. The bouncer didn't care whether Ian was developing his stage persona or acting out his career frustration or what. He just saw a twat kicking broken glass. He stormed over, grabbed him by the scruff of the neck, marched him to the door and threw him out. Great. Someone came and told us, so instead of going on, the three of us had to go to the door and beg the bouncer to let him back in. He was going, "Fuck off, he's a wanker kicking broken glass around." And we were going, "Yeah, but that wanker's our singer, mate. He's the singer of our band, you've got to let him in. Come on, mate." Eventually, and after much begging, the bouncer relented and let Ian back in. And at last we got on stage. About 20 minutes late. Looked out into the crowd, if you can call it that, and there were all my mates, right at the front going, "Aye, okay, all right, okay," grinning at me and giving me the thumbs up. I was thinking that it was nice of them to turn up, but the grinning and the thumbs upping I could have done without. In Joy Division, we were very serious. We were more into scowling. Meanwhile, Barney was giving me daggers like, "Your mates better behave themselves. Ian as well, cheeky bastards." Then Ian went, right, we're here now, we're Joy Division, and this is Exercise 1. And I struck a pose with my brand new Hondo and hit the first note of the first song, an open E. Except that instead of the first note of Exercise 1, there was a massive boing sound and everyone looked at me. Oh, fuck. The string had flipped off the guitar. I pushed it back over the nut so it clicked into the hole and hit it again. Boing, it jumped out again. Fuck, fuck, fuck a duck. It was a fault on the guitar, honest. I had to hold the string in with my thumb and my finger as I was playing. I was just getting to the point of mastering that when I looked down and saw Alex Parker, who was a very good friend of mine, and his brother Ian all of a sudden start fighting. No worries, I thought, the rest of them will sort that out. Sure enough, a load more of the Flemish Weaver mob waded in to split them up, but then more punches were thrown. One of them went crashing to the floor, and instead of the fight stopping, it got worse, gradually escalating until all of my mates were involved, a huge mass punch-up, like a giant ball of them rolling up and down in front of us as we were playing. Oh my God. The rest of the band were looking at them and then at me, giving me daggers as this big ball of fighting blokes rolled across the front of us and then back again. Of course, the bouncer who'd thrown Ian out was nowhere to be seen, and they were just left to roll about, so we just kept on playing. Flat as fuck, but the band played on. But then it escalated. These other kids kept running forward from the back, starting on my mates, lashing out at them as they rolled past, which of course wound me up, so I started kicking these kids from the stage. Don't fucking kick my mate, you bastard. Hey, la, pack it in. Bleeding scousers. So there I was, kicking them in the head, trying to play Exercise 1, while trying to hold my string in. The rest of the band really pissed off with me for bringing along my daft scally mates. Shit. At last the bouncer reappeared. He had a bunch of mates with him and they started knocking heads together. Kicked out the Flemish Weaver lot and then the Scousers, which left us finishing the gig to an almost empty room. Me holding my string, Ian, Barney and Steve all looking at me like they wanted to throttle me. It was terrible. Absolutely fucking awful. Our first gig as Joy Division, and we didn't play another one for almost 2 months, which back then seemed like a long, long time. Definitely the worst thing in the world. Like I say, little did we know, eh?